When we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, he makes our paths straight. One of the great things about the message of God's revelation is that we're not accidents. You know, that's something that, you know, if you believe full in on that life was just randomly created and we just happen to be here, then if that was the case, there should be a lot of reasons why you should be afraid about your future. Because it's survival of the fittest. Like, who knows what's going to happen in your life, and it probably won't go very well, you know? That's that idea of you're just randomly created, you were created without purpose, you were created without plan. But the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ, the wonderful message of our faith, is that you are not an accident, that you are not some kind of roll of the dice that just happened to work out to be the various DNA that make up your body. God has a plan for you. God has an awesome and amazing plan for you, a perfect plan for you, a plan for you that is way better than anything you could come up with on your own. Our Lord speaks to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where he says to the people of Israel, he says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a future and a hope for prosperity and not for woe." You know, his plans are good. And I wanted to begin all of this talk about providence, that God is looking after us. And he's not like, you know, watching us from a distance. Like, he is intimately involved in all of the decisions of our life. Now, I say that because sometimes it doesn't seem like that way. We ask God questions and we don't get an immediate answer for things. And we think because we don't get an immediate answer that God doesn't know the answer or God doesn't care to tell us. But I'm telling you, just as a lifelong follower of Jesus Christ, that's not the case. There's a saying for those of us that are followers of Jesus is that God is rarely early, but he is never late. And he lets us know things when we need to know. We're on a need-to-know basis many times in our faith life. And why is that? Well, I think part of it is we would screw up our life if we thought we knew where we were going or what we were doing. I mean, my own life as an example, I am deliriously happy about my life. I am super, super blessed. I get to do so many awesome and wonderful things. I've been married now for 20 years to a woman who's still my best friend. We have 7 kids, which is just so much fun, 5 boys and 2 girls. I get to go to Disney World a lot, and I have an excuse to because I've got small children, right? And I'm like, I had to. And I can't wait for Star Wars Land to open. yeah, there you go. I teach at Franciscan University. Franciscan University is really an anointed and special place. I mean, some of what you're experiencing here this weekend, the reason we call them Steubenville Conferences is because you're just tasting some of the charism and grace that comes from Franciscan University of Steubenville. It really is it's an amazing place. I get to travel around the country. I get to speak. I get to host conferences. At other conferences, I actually do what Adam does. I lead the worship music. And so many blessings in my life. And these blessings have come because I've just trusted in the Lord. Now, if I knew when I was in high school what God had planned for me, I would have probably made some very different decisions. When I went to college, I majored in theater. I did no theology whatsoever because I loved being on stage, I loved doing music, I loved acting, and that's what I wanted to pursue. And if the Lord would have said, actually, Bob, someday you're going to teach theology at a college, I would have said, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll go to a Bible college and I'll major in theology. And I would have missed a really important part of my life, all of that theater training, all of that theater experience, which A, I super enjoyed, and B, really set me up for a lot of the ministry I do right now. I always wondered who was my spouse, you know, like when I was a teenager. I'm like, Lord, you know, what's my vocation? And if it's marriage, who, and I want to meet my wife right now. But if I would have met my wife as a teenager, it would have gone absolutely horribly. And my wife actually jokes about this. My wife, when she was in college, or in high school rather, was like the popular party girl, you know, like, you know, drinking on weekends and just doing all those, you know, really superficial stuff that's how she calls it, that she was into. I was into theater. My favorite pastime was Dungeons and Dragons. I had few friends, except my fantasy friends, who were really cool. And if we would have met, like, we always joke, like, if we would have met each other at high school, we would have absolutely hated each other. Like, we would want nothing to do with each other. And so God always had this plan in my life and always had this plan in my wife's life, that he knew what was going on, but he knew this was just, this would be a bad time for me to reveal the fullness of my plan to Bob. Because sometimes the problem is, when God tells us the end of the destination, we just try to make a straight line there. And God's more interested in us trusting him on the journey to get there. And we don't always know where we're going. And that's when the Lord says, will you trust me? You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. God has taken me places and made, you know, even going to Steubenville. I mean, I was in Orlando, Florida, and I got invited to speak at Steubenville, Ohio. I hadn't heard of Steubenville at all. I thought they first said Stupidville. You know, I got to Steubenville, and, you know, it's not Orlando. Let me just put it that way. It's just not as cool as Orlando is in many ways, or at least that was my first impression of it. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your paths straight. So much of what this workshop is about, then, isn't so much about picking the right college, though that's part of it, or what you're going to do. It's about how might we set ourselves up to really trust in the Lord and to hear his will for us. God's will for us is not a mystery, okay? Like, he's not playing games with you. I know sometimes it feels that way. If he hasn't told you what's going on, it just means he wants to walk with you. And you just have to build up trust in the moment. We keep thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week, what's going to happen next year, what's going to happen in the next 5 years. The way that God revealed himself to us in the Old Testament, when Moses says, what is your name? He said, I am. Not I was. We can't live in the past. Not I will be in the future. When we live in the past, we're just burdened with all our regrets. When we live in the future, we're paralyzed by all of our fears. When we live in the moment where God dwells, we find peace, we find happiness, and he makes all of our paths straight. He leads us to where he wants us to go, as long as we're asking him all of those questions. So some thoughts, though. Living the faith after high school, we need to be prudent about what that's going to look like. Here's a parable that Jesus said about discipleship in the Gospel of Luke. He says, which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, this one began to build but did not have the resources to finish. Or what king marching into battle wouldn't first sit down and decide whether 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king with 20,000? If not, while he's far away, he'll send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Now, I don't know about you, the first time I read that last sentence really jumps out to me. Like, wait, was he talking possessions? What are you talking about? I thought we were talking about like towers and armies and stuff. But he was getting into the deep point of this, which is to say, do we trust God with everything? Will we give him everything? And as we talk about being followers of Jesus Christ, are we willing to count the cost? Because the cost to follow Jesus is everything. Now, there's some great news about that. Everybody in this room can afford everything you have. Isn't that wonderful? We all can afford everything. There's not a certain like financial amount, like a dollar sign, you know, it would be $100,000. And some people would be like, oh, I can't afford that. And somebody else is like, oh, I got money to spare. No, he's asking for 100%. In the parables that he talks about in the Gospel of Matthew about the kingdom of God, he has a few really cool images of the value of being a follower, being a disciple, of being part of the kingdom of God. And one of them is this. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field which a person finds and hides again and goes out in joy and sells all that he has and buys the field. There was a law back then that if you own the property, you own everything on the property. So imagine you're just kind of walking in a field that says for sale on it, and you stumble across this treasure chest filled with like millions of dollars, right? You bury the chest, you go buy the land, and now you legally just purchased everything in the land. You legally get all that. Well, if you knew, you know, let's say if all you had was $5,000, right? Maybe that means you had to sell all your clothes or your computer or other stuff. But if you knew, if I could just come up with $5,000, I could buy $10 million, you would give everything you had, right? Like, who wouldn't? That's what Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we're giving up, and we don't realize what we're getting. We are getting eternity. We are getting perfect joy. We are getting everlasting life. I mean, we are getting it all. And all it costs is all we have. And we need to count the cost before we endeavor. If you're serious about being a follower of Jesus Christ, especially as you graduate high school, you've got to count the cost here. You've got to start asking some questions, because one of the big challenges of leaving high school is that as you get into this time period that we often call young adults, right, you don't have a parish youth group anymore. You know, there's a lot of ways that you kind of, you graduate and they're like, okay, see ya, good luck. And you lack a lot of that community that you had, many of the things that you took for granted. I shared earlier in front of everybody, you know, I was involved in a youth group when I was in high school. I loved the Lord. I prayed every day. And for whatever reason, it didn't even cross my mind to check out the spirituality of the campuses I was applying for. I mean, I knew they had a Newman Center, and I knew they had a Sunday night mass, and they seemed to do some stuff on campus. And I was like, great. And part of it was because I didn't realize that foundation of my family faith life and the faith life of my friends, how important that was to me. I was probably just a little bit arrogant. I didn't count the cost. I'm like, oh, I'll be fine. I'll be totally fine. I can go anywhere. It'll be great. And so I ended up at this school where, you know, the first week you go to college, you have freshman orientation, which is cool because you, like, feel like you own the school. And then the other students show up and they're like, sit down, freshman, you know, and you're like back to being a freshman again. And when I was at the school, I met, you know, three other guys, the four of us. They were Christians. They didn't want to drink. They wanted to save themselves for marriage, all those things. And we were going to hold each other accountable and pray together, and it was going to be great. You know, we were going to be brothers in Christ and make it through. And after 2 months, they had already given up all of that. And I was the only person I knew of that was trying to live an active Catholic Christian life. And it was lonely, and it was painful, and it was really, really difficult. And I praise God that he brought me through that, not without some wounds and scrapes along the ways. I ended up fighting battles he didn't want me to fight. But God was faithful to me, and I tried my best to be faithful to him. But in retrospect, I look back, and I just thought, like, what was I thinking? And the problem was, I wasn't thinking. Part of what I want to do today is just try to help you think about some things. So there's four things I want you to think about in terms of leaving high school. And this is whether you are going to another college or going to a community college or maybe just taking some time to work or whatever. Four really big challenges that you're going to face that we've, you know, seen a lot of young adults face. And they are purity, money, sobriety, and sanity. Okay? Not insanity. Well, that's actually the problem. You could go insane. But purity, money, sobriety, and sanity. Those are often the big ticket things that many young adults are struggling with. Let's start with purity. Now, you've already heard a men's and women's session. Ideally, you've heard this kind of message before. But this goes back to providence. This goes back into trusting the Lord's plan for your life. When you are in dating relationships, chastity should be one of the first conversations you have. You don't want to wait until you're deep into the relationship and maybe in the backseat of a car to explain this chastity pledge you took at a student bowl conference once. Like, that's not a really great place to have the conversation. Because chastity is freedom. You want to be dating people who embrace this virtue of chastity. I got to tell you something. don't date someone who says, well, I'm not really into it, but if you are, I'll respect that. Because if they're geared to expressing their love purely in that sexual way, there's going to come a moment when they're like, come on, if you really love me, you will. Many of you have been in this situation already, and you don't have to be in college or after high school to be dealing with this. But especially those of you that might end up on a college campus, you could go to a school where there's co-ed dorms. That's the school I was in. I mean, there were guys and girls living on the floor. There was just a lot of casual sex going on because there were no curfews. You could do whatever you wanted. There was a lot of drinking, which always was connected to that. I'll talk about that a little bit later. And it becomes a very, very different environment. You don't realize living at home or being a part of Christian community, all the things that block certain temptations, they can disappear in some of those environments. And suddenly you're really susceptible. And you're in a place where you're feeling lonely and you're out of place. And it's just super easy to fall into it. You have to fight for chastity. You have to make a decision for that. You need to make sure if you're dating people that they're on board with that. If they're not, it's okay. That doesn't mean you're a horrible person, but we're just not going to get in that kind of relationship. I, unfortunately, when I was in college, I didn't know much about chastity. I knew about virginity, and praise God, I remained a virgin, but in college, I didn't know about the real beauty and the message of chastity. Now, I was dating a girl who was also Christian, but we weren't behaving in the pure way that God intended us to. And I came to a conference right after I graduated college. It was a bit of a long-distance relationship. And I heard a talk on chastity, and my heart just exploded. I was like, yes, I would love to have a relationship where I'm not feeling guilty all the time, you know, about things. And so I purchased a cassette version of the talk because that's how cool we were back then. And I mailed it. Yeah, I had to put it in an envelope and stuff to my girlfriend, you know, along with like a little, you know, they handed out pledge cards like they do here. You know, I signed it, I dated it. I put one in my Bible, and then I put a blank one in it, sent it to her. She loved it. She heard the tape. She thought it was amazing. We said, yes, we're definitely going to do this. And 3 months later, she broke up with me. Which really sucked. And some of it was that when we stopped being physical with each other, we realized that we kind of annoy each other. like there wasn't actually a lot more to the relationship than that. And though it hurt, I knew it was probably for the best because, you know, these are the things that sometimes people have a physical relationship, they get married, and then after a while, the physical stuff isn't that exciting. And you're left with the person, and if you've never had a chance just to live chastely with that person, your marriage will never succeed. You know, it'll never go any farther, you know, than just the physical relationship of things. So a couple years pass, and I'm a student now at Franciscan, and I'm dating this girl. And we just began dating, and we're actually praying with each other, and I open up my Bible, and this chastity card falls out. Now, I don't know why I was embarrassed by it. I just didn't feel like talking about it just then. I mean, I knew she was really strong in the Lord, and we hadn't done anything. But I still like was like, oh, excuse, you know. And I tried to grab it, and she grabbed the card, and she's looking at it. And I was like, yeah, well, that's my chastity card. You know, I went to a conference and I signed it. And she's actually starting to cry a little bit. I'm like, it's just a card. You know, it's not that interesting. You know. And she reached into her Bible and she pulled out the same card written with the same date. We were actually at the same conference and didn't know it. And that's the woman I've been married to for 20 years. You know, that incredible gift. And I share that because, A, it's an awesome story. But more importantly, I'm just trying to give you hope. Okay? Chastity is based on hope for the future. If we lose our hope that God has a better plan for us, we just take the muck that's immediately accessible that sin offers us. Sin pretends to offer instant gratification. It's just instant pain, really. It sells something that's not real. God is inviting us to a banquet, and sometimes the best food takes a little while to prepare, but it's always, always worth it. And so in your struggle with purity, in your prayers for purity, have brothers and sisters who can hold each other accountable, make it a conversation with anybody you're thinking about dating, and God has a plan. He really wants to bless you and lead you in that. money is another really big issue, especially those of you that end up going to college. You can get into debt super, super quick. One statistic says that 20% of college graduates change their business plan because they're in so much debt, which is to say they went to college with this dream, this aspiration, I want to do this when I grow up. But then they get so much in debt in college, they say, I can't afford doing that anymore. I'm going to do this because it just makes more money. And I think that's really tragic. It's super easy to spend money. Many times when we live under our parents' roof, they buy things for us. They might take care of things for us. We have no idea how much money they're spending on us. It's not a bad idea if those of you that are still in your senior year of college, if you have parents who are super generous like that, just to start asking questions like, how much do I cost? Like, just to live? You know, you'll be blown away by how much money it costs for you. But you need to have this mentality, because even when you go out to college, how much is an apartment? How much should I be looking for a job? Like, you know, we can kind of be naive about it. Businesses love naive young adults who just have a credit card and just keep swiping and keep spending money and spending money and spending money. And the next thing you know, you've graduated college, you've got tens of thousands of dollars of debt, and you have no way of paying for them. Now, you might end up be planning on going to a career that will make a lot of money, and therefore going to college and going in debt can make sense, because in the long run you might work it off. But you have to be thinking about these things, because money can really be a chain around your neck. Most couples fight about finances. That's the number one thing they fight about. It can be a real stress in life. There's a great program. I don't know if you've heard of a guy. His name is Dave Ramsey. And he does this thing called Financial Peace. Some of you are like nodding your heads. You guys, check it out. It is genius. It is really amazing. He's got videos online. It might be, you know, for those of you that are youth group leaders with seniors, walk them through that. It just talks about finances. And the whole thing is to be at peace with money, not always stressed out about money. And that's a really important thing going forward. Sobriety, this is huge. And this leads into everything else. You know, you talk about purity. All my friends, you know, who did really dumb sexual things that they sincerely regret, it always begins with, well, I drank too much. And then. You're all under 21, so none of you should be drinking legally. When you turn 21, you can drink, but never get drunk. Like, drunkenness is never acceptable. That has nothing to do with the law. That's just a morality issue, okay? And that's just important to remember, because sometimes people are like, oh, it's just a stupid law. Well, yeah, the 21 rule is an American law, but the sobriety gift is just part of God's plan for your life. Because when you start drinking to get drunk or smoking weed or doing whatever, you lose all the virtues of temperance and prudence that God gave you, and you end up doing really, really stupid things. You know, nobody ever did drugs or got drunk and then said, and I woke up the next morning and I realized I made a lot of great decisions the night before. You know, like, wow, I'm so much wiser when I'm trashed. You know, nobody says that. You know, said no one ever, right? So, God wants to give you a joy of life that doesn't need that kind of stuff. I didn't drink all throughout my college years. I know that sounds kind of weird, but I didn't. And it was a great witness to other people, because at first they'd kind of, you know, make fun of me a little bit, but then they were glad because I could drive them home. And then after a couple years, they would come to me and they'd say, how come you always seem to be having a good time and you're not drinking at all? And I could just talk about the joy I have in the Lord, to which they'd be like, oh gosh, please shut up. But I didn't have good friends. But, you know, like, I was really just happy, you know, with the Lord, and I didn't need that kind of stuff. I actually didn't start drinking until I got married, but that doesn't mean to be a negative connotation about anything. Let's just move on. But that is, I share that with you because it can be done. It can be done, and it's an important thing to do. And it's not just about some kind of arbitrary American law that's out there. God gave you a great mind and gives you virtue, and those things, they just start eroding at that and taking them away. If it's not bad in and of itself, it is the on-ramp to really bad and really stupid things. And God would like to protect you from that. And the last thing is sanity. You know, it's easy to start losing your brain when you leave high school. I mean, that's assuming you have a brain right now. So if you do, congratulations. Anybody ever feel stressed out, like a lot? Yeah, yeah. You know what? With your generation, it's the biggest issue, stress. It's been said that over half of your millennial generation has stayed up all night, once a month, stressed out about something. You're more stressed out than your parents and grandparents were. There's a lot of pressure that's out there, and a lot of media pressure, pressure to look good, pressure to achieve, a lot of anxiety, which is really kind of crazy if you think about it, because in some ways you're living in one of the best peaceful and economic times. Now you might be like, peaceful and economic times, do you watch the news? Yeah, there was a time when there wasn't 24-hour news and people were way more relaxed. Like, there was a time people worried about like the Cold War and everybody getting nuked, right? You know, and yet somehow their stress levels were lower than yours. And why is that? Well, there's a lot of ideas behind it. I can't go through all of them. One of the big ones is just constant media exposure that's always trying to freak you out. You know, our 24-hour news network is all about be afraid, find out why later, you know. And you're just, I got to know why I need to be afraid today, you know. And that's really all the news like seems to become. And God wants to give you a peace. Jesus said, I have come to give you a peace the world cannot give because I have conquered the world. And that can be tough to find sometimes when everything is new and everything's different. Those of you that go off to college, psychologists say that your first year of an away college is one of the loneliest years of your life. Because, again, you're away from family. You know, it's kind of an exciting adventure, and then it sets in, and where is everybody? And there's all new people, and it can really be a challenge. And the wonderful thing is that God is present there. God can meet you in the midst of that. God wants to carry you through that and lead you through that. We have to learn how to be independent if we're ever really going to grow in our faith and do all of those important things that God has planned. So stay connected with family. Stay connected with old friends. It's one of the great things about social media. You can reach out, you know, with the click of a few buttons. And seek help if you need it. You know, a lot of colleges offer counseling or other things if you're really feeling low. Those can be a great help, you know, to get through difficult times and difficult periods that are present. So those four things, purity, money, sobriety, and sanity, this is all about counting the cost. And it's also those of you that are planning to go off to college, just making sure that that college environment that you're going to can be one that is conducive to your spiritual life. Now, we've talked a lot about Franciscan because it really is a wonderful place, but it's not just about, you know, the answer isn't to just go to Franciscan, because some of you will and some of you won't. There's a lot of other amazing colleges out there. Now, just because they're Catholic in name, unfortunately, doesn't mean they're going to be really have active faith communities on campus. And by the way, just because they are a state college in name doesn't mean that they don't have any faith activities. There are some incredible Newman centers at state colleges. You know, some great ministry places. You know, that are booming. Even places that offer, I know at University of Illinois, they have a Catholic dormitory that you can be a part of. And I know there's huge ministry at places like Texas A&M. And I know here, you know, I've met a lot of students that have gone to Benedictine, which is just a fantastic, faithful Catholic place to go to. There's places to go to. You just need to be looking for them. And it needs to be a part of your list of pluses and minuses. Because you also want to make sure you're going to a school that can support you. You know, like maybe it's around community that you can really invest in, that it's got the kind of major that you really want to study. It can provide the kind of job that you're really hoping to go into it. It shouldn't just be an exclusive, okay, well, be holy and then, you know, everything else, it doesn't matter. I'm confident God has a plan for your life. And if you put in the Venn diagram of what you'd like to study and where you'd like to be and how you can grow in holiness, that maybe a few schools will end up in that little part that hits all three of those things. But what we're trying to encourage you to do, for those of you that are looking for colleges, or maybe those of you that are still making a decision, you only have a couple months, so good luck with that, but is to say, yeah, that's an important part of the conversation. And those of you that might end up next year and you're in it for a few months and you feel like this is not it for me, you can transfer. Like, seriously, just get out. Like, get out while the getting's good. Like, the sooner you get out, the better. Like, do your first year there and then go somewhere else. It'll be tough because you'll have made some friendships and made some relationships and done some things. But just trust in the Lord that if you feel like this place isn't doing it for me, don't just stick it through because that's the easy thing to do. You know, because then you just stay another year and stay another year and stay another year, and then you graduated, and then you just got a job that you weren't really excited about, but it paid the bills, and then I'll just do that for a little while, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And you end up in a rut, and sometimes this is what, like, midlife crisis is about. Sometimes people do this, and they wake up, and they're 40 years old, and they go, what have I been doing with my life? Like, this isn't where I want to be. You know, this isn't what I'm doing. And it's so much easier on the younger end to say, this isn't working for me. This isn't... I'm not growing in holiness. This isn't a great environment. I'm going to look other places. Pretty much every university is happy to take in transfer students and make that work. So even if you feel like you ended up in the wrong place, maybe God had something to teach you that year, but don't just stay there because that's the easy and convenient thing to do. Nothing's more important than your relationship with God, and God has this plan for you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your paths straight. Amen? All right, so we have a few minutes that I wanted to leave for questions. If anybody would like to ask me questions about anything that I just said or advice on stuff. I'm doing great, thank you. Thank you. Any other deeper? I'm not letting you leave until we do. Yeah. These are the yes. Thanks for getting right to the deep stuff. These are check out how these are my Star Wars shoes. See, I got Luke and Leia there, and then I got Darth Vader there. They're pretty epic. So good. I wasn't ready to go so deep so quick, but thank you. Yeah. Praise God. Any Truman State people, raise your hands. All right, when we're done with this workshop, meet him over there because that would be great. He'd love to meet with you. It would be a difficult conversation, to be sure. Really, chastity is about love. And it's about discovering what love really is. And the world sells a false bill of goods when it comes to love. We should be able to love each other without being physical with each other. That shouldn't be what our love is dictated on. And in fact, our physical love should spring forth from not having to be physical with each other. You know, love is for... permanence, love is for children, all of those things. If that person hasn't had that experience, they just might think it's really, really strange because the culture teaches us that if you really care about somebody, you're supposed to express that physically. And it's not like it's just this, you know, I mean, I realize that there's genuine love in many of those actions. You know, it's not just about a selfishness, but it can lead to it. So that kind of call to chastity can be a real test of a relationship, but it's an important one to do because if you truly love somebody, you know, I always thought of people that I dated as somebody else's potential wife. And I wanted to actually protect, and eventually I wanted that future husband to say, thank you. You know, you treated her with respect. Or that was going to be my wife, you know, and I certainly wanted to have that relationship. So I bet in the bookstore sometimes there's some great resources. Jason Everett, I don't know if you've heard him. There's a website called... Yeah, I'll let him know you were quasi-excited about him. But he has a website called chastityproject.com, and he has some stuff on his website and some pamphlets specifically answering that kind of question. And so I would refer you just to check out that website and to have that conversation. It might be something that the person doesn't understand, and they think it's not about love, but maybe you're trying to break up with them or something. And that can be a difficult thing, but to stay in those relationships would end up being really, really unhealthy and could have us miss out on the plan that, that God wants for our lives. Thanks for asking that question. That was a great question. Yeah. Yes? Say what? I think it would probably be Mos Eisley. That's my guess on it. Or somewhere on the outer rim seems like a very good location for that. Yeah, we'll break into small groups and talk about that more, but thank you for asking that question. Yeah, excellent. Yes? That's a fantastic question. Is it wrong to date a non-Christian? No, it's not. However, what you want to make sure is, I mean, because a non-Christian is such a generic statement, right? I have a number of people that I get to, that I'm friends with or I get to work with that don't believe in God, but are awesome and amazing, outstanding, moral people, you know, who really want to serve others and help others and be for others. So I think there's a lot of ways that it can often be about our values that can sync up, that are the important thing that can be a part of it. But that being said, you want to, if your goal is to be closer to Jesus and you're with somebody who wants nothing to do with Jesus or is hostile to Jesus, then you end up getting torn between doing what you feel the Lord is calling you to do and then doing this relationship. And investing heavily in this kind of relationship can end up hurting this relationship. The best relationships really, my wife, there's a wonderful book by a guy named Fulton Sheen that talked about three to get married. That my love, my genuine love for my wife is best expressed when I love the Lord first. And I love Jesus more than I love my wife. And that might sound unromantic, but my wife would say the same thing. And that's why we love each other so well. Because we're not trying to be each other's savior and we're not trying to be each other's God. We're both trying to be obedient to God. And so if you're in a relationship with somebody that isn't open to that relationship or doesn't have that, you end up, it's easy to get pulled into it. So I wouldn't say as a default, absolutely not run away. Because you can find, there's awesome people out there who believe in all sorts of things. But as that relationship is growing, if they're not open to that, it could end up having you go a direction that you don't want to go. Okay? Awesome question. Thank you for asking that. Any other questions? Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So Newman Centers are Catholic centers that are set up at public schools. And it just depends on the school. Like some of them are really well-funded and have like numerous priests there or others. Some are just kind of in name only and they only offer like Mass on Sunday. But the idea of the Newman Center was the Newman Center would be a place where Catholics could, you know, receive sacraments and grow in their faith in the midst of like a secular state college environment. Another great website to check out, another group of people that do wonderful college ministry is a group called Focus. Focus stands for Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And they have a website, which I think is just focus.org. Wait, let me double check and make sure that's it. It is, thank you, focus.org. When you're looking at schools, go on the Focus site and see what schools they're at. They're at a lot of them. And if you're at one of those schools, connect with some of those missionaries. Be a part of the Bible studies. Be a part of that faith community. Focus.org, its whole focus is helping college students grow in the faith. So even if you don't end up in a place where there is Focus, that website has tons of cool information that follow up from what I was talking about how to grow in your faith and how to keep your faith in college and just continue to do that. The sad statistic is that a group found a couple years ago is that almost 80% of those who went into college who were intending to keep their faith ended up not practicing it by the end of their first 4 years of college. That's really scary. And that's why we started to have this workshop, because I know many of you are enthusiastic about the gospel, enthusiastic about Christ, but you go into the environment and it can be a real challenging thing. Have hope. God has a great plan for your life. And there's just one more little point I wanted to say about college. Beware of philosophy classes. Most colleges require some kind of philosophy class, and most philosophers on college campuses, you know, begin with the principle that, you know, God is dead or God never existed. And don't think you're going to, this isn't like the God's Not Dead movie where you're going to prove the professor wrong and everyone's going to applaud and there's going to be like a Newsboys soundtrack blaring in the background, okay, right? Like that just doesn't happen, okay? Because the chances are this teacher who is in charge of the classroom and can control the conversation and your future GPA, won't even give you a chance to speak. Be careful with that. Read up on some great Christian philosophy. I know Focus has some stuff on that. There's a course in many college campuses called The Bible is Literature. Don't take that course ever. You might be tempted to say, oh, I like the Bible. This is great. The Bible as literature, in its title, it means we think the Bible's just another book. And so we're going to compare it to the Homer and the Iliad and the Odyssey and all these other epic books. And we're going to downgrade it to just a really interesting fictional story. Avoid that class. Again, if you're in a state school. Hopefully you'll be in a place where you can learn more about your Catholic faith. There are a lot of opportunities online. I know at Franciscan University, for example, we offer online classes in theology. And you could be at any college campus. You could go to a state campus, but you could take online classes and use them as credit towards the college that you're going to. There might be other opportunities like that. But all of it is about counting the cost and trusting in the Lord. I hope you leave this workshop feeling hopeful, not scared, maybe a little bit sober about what's in front of you. But just believe me that God has great and incredible plans. Just keep your eyes fixed on Him, and I hope this gave some wisdom. So let me say a prayer. Amen. Thank you. And let's say a prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for your love. Send us your Holy Spirit. Send us your wisdom. Bless these young men and women, especially those that are going off to college in the next few months, or maybe just out of high school into a community college, or maybe just working at a job or taking some time off to discern what your will is. Lord God, help us trust you with our whole heart, but also bless our mind to be prudent and wise, that we may follow you and know all the amazing and incredible things you have for our life. We love you, and we are so grateful that you do not love us from a distance, but you are intimately involved in every aspect of our life. May we feel you walk with us and guide us to where you want us to be, and we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.